All right. Hey, I hope you're having fun this morning. That's the second part of our vision statement, connecting people deeply to God and each other in a fun and safe environment. That's what we're going for. If we're not there yet, come and talk to me and we'll kick it up a notch. But we're starting a new series this morning, right? Everybody's kind of getting back out of all the summer stuff, and people are going back to work, and we're getting back into these rhythms, and some of us are really sad about that, and we want to go back to Disney World or wherever you were. But as we do that, I think it's just really important to just reframe things as we go forward, right? And so this is the place where I've been lately. Like, I'm a Facebook guy, I'm a Twitter guy, I'm an Instagram guy, I'm that guy. But lately, I just want to blow the whole thing up, because it seems like this is what it seems like to me right now in America. Everyone has an opinion, but no one's allowed to have one. Everybody's got an opinion right now, and nobody is allowed to have one. And I understand. I know exactly where this is going. Okay, Pastor Jeff, but that's your opinion. I saw some really beautiful words posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago. It said, "We need more men of wisdom and women and less people of opinions." Woo, that's great. And then the thread that went after it was, "That's your opinion." I think just this morning, I just want to bring us back and let's reframe all this to what's really important in America. What's really necessary for you and for me. And I want to do that by telling you a story of how God humbled me this week to make me think about a lot of good things that brought me back to the place of understanding who I am in Him. Our phones were up, and my wife's phone would not turn on. And so we go to the Verizon store and we get new phones. Yay, awesome, it's great. I love that this thing is crazy. I mean, it's the 6. I know I bought it the day before the announcement for the 6S. I'm that guy. So I get the phone. I use this thing for a day, and it's I'm like, wah, wah, wah. So good. Slow-mo videos of my knees. It's great. It's phenomenal. I get it the next day. I go to turn it on. Nothing. Not the thing won't work. I'm messing around with the thing. Nothing. I can't get anything to work. There is a power button on the side, and I'm pushing the power button until it almost broke. I'm hitting the little circle. I'm putting nothing. So I go to the Verizon store with my son Caleb, and I walk in. I say, "I bought this thing yesterday, and it won't work." And he said, the manager, I got to the manager, and he said, "Did you hold the power button down and the circle at the same time?" Some of you are nodding. What's wrong with you, Jeff? Why don't you know this? Why do you have a power button if the power button doesn't turn on the phone? That's all I'm saying. So he, instead of showing me, because I'm the old person, he bends down and shows my 9-year-old son, "Show Daddy that you push the power button in the circle and the phone turns on. Look at that." And I'm standing there, and I'm like, I knew it was going to be simple. I knew it was going to be something just very, idiotically simple. And all I could do was just go like this. And Caleb looks up at me and goes, "Don't worry, Daddy, I'll help you figure it out." I thought I was super smart when it came to technology, and I found, thinking I was wise, I became a fool. And so in that moment, there was all these words flooding into my brain about who I am. "You're stupid" was number one. I think sometimes in life we own identity that is not ours to own. We'll come back to that at the end. Would you join me? In Philippians chapter 3, open up your phones if you know how to turn them on. Open up your gadgets. If you don't have one of those, there's a pew Bible in front of you. It's page 1140. 1140. And I want to frame this thing. This series that we're going to be doing for the next 3 weeks is called Draw Me Close. And this morning, in order to be drawn close to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I think it's really important to understand who we are. In Philippians chapter 3, it says this: "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write these same things to you again." He's done this already. And it is a safeguard for you. "Watch out for the dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." He gives you his list. There's seven things he says about himself here. First of all, he says that he's circumcised. There's a blood covenant that has taken place between him and God. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because we want to stay focused on what's going on here. He is the people of Israel, the chosen ones. He is of the tribe of Benjamin that came, the first king came out of Benjamin. Moses, who parted the Red Sea. If any of you saw the movie Exodus, was out in the theater. That was all about this guy, Moses. And they were the tribe that helped Judah. He was a Benjamite. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He is everything good that can be good about the Jewish people. And then he takes it up three more notches. He's a Pharisee, who was someone who sought after the traditions of the ancestors. And as far as that, he went one step further. He persecuted the church. Anybody who did not see eye to eye with how he saw the Torah, the Word of God for him, he would bring them and put them to death. As for all the legalistic things that were the requirement of him, he was absolutely faultless. And if you looked at him in his attributes of what he had done, that's who his identity would be. I was born in a Christian home where we talked about the Bible. I was born to a pastor. I came to Christ at an early age, and as Christ started to take shape in my life and started to transform me, I became the good person. I got stuff up here to show you that how good I became. This is one of my favorites. This is the John L. Menapace Award for Team Spirit and Moral Character. I was such a good Christian on the soccer field that other people gave me the Congeniality Award. I went to Nyack College. There's a couple of Nyacks. So I was a HEOP student. All right. Yeah, represent. All right. I got the Outstanding Student in recognition of service to the Nyack community. I served the Lord so good that my Nyack friends saw that I was good too. And they gave me a nice little plaque that is not on my wall. And look, then I graduated. Woo! I'm a graduate. And then, because that was not good enough for my self-esteem, I needed to take it up another notch and go and get my MDiv, my Master's of Divinity. 3 years I labored, and my wife labored with me, to get this bad boy. And you would think, at that point, that I had arrived in Christendom. But no, my first 2 years in service at the church, I had to spend the next 2 years getting ordained so I could put R-E-V in front of my name. And if Martin, my friend Martin, the director of the doctoral studies program at Alliance Theological Seminary, if he has his way, I will have another one that says doctorate. And all these things are good. They are. I worked hard for these things. But are they who I am? Let's keep reading. In verse 7 it says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead." If my position, if my identity was based on what I did, it is flawed. Paul tells you about all the great things, barring the killing people. All these things I did, I accomplished. But one thing I cannot do by my labor is become loved by God. He showed you his works of righteousness, rightness, but positionally in Christ, he has been made right. In front of you, every single one of you, there's little pen boxes. And there's little 3x5 cards in those pen boxes. I want everybody to grab one of those 3x5 cards. You didn't know you were doing work this morning when you signed up for this bad boy. Share the pens, pass them around. Right now, before we go any further, I want you to write down the first label that you give yourself on the front of that piece of paper. The first label that you give yourself. It could be your job, it could be whatever, the first thing that comes to mind, this is who I am, I want you to write it down. And I want to go back and I want to read these words. In verse 8, it says, "What more? I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish or garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, that is by faith." So this one thing I know this morning, my rightness, my goodness, everything about me that is good is not my opinion. It's his. Everything that's good about Jeff Salveson is not my opinion. It's his. When you take that to the furthest extent, when you understand what it is to be loved by the God of the universe, it changes things. It changes your perspective. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 10, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death." Whoop, time out. I don't know if I want to know about that. And I picked up this book that I've been reading this week. It's called Tramp for the Lord by Corrie Ten Boom. It's an oldie but it's a goodie. It's a story about this woman, Corey, and her family who hid Jews during the Holocaust. And they got found out. They got caught, and her entire family went to prison. And Corey and her sister, Betsy, ended up together. And they had these crazy experiences in prison where they got to tell all kinds of people about Christ in the middle of a concentration camp. And I'm reading along this week, and I come across this section that just made me pause. It says, Betsy and I were walking to the square where roll call was being held in the concentration camp. It was still early before dawn. The head of our barracks was so cruel, and she had sent us out into the very cold outdoors a few hours too early. Betsy's hand was in mine. We went to the square by a different way from the rest of the barrack mates. We were three as we walked with the Lord and talked with him. Betsy spoke, then I talked, then the Lord spoke. How? I don't know. But both of us understood. It was the same presence that I felt years ago when I was little in the old cathedral in Harlem. In the brilliant early morning, stars were our only light. The cold winter air was so clear. We could faintly see the outlines of the barracks, the crematorium, the gas chamber, and the towers where the guards were standing with loaded machine guns. Isn't this just a bit of heaven? Betsy said. And Lord, this is a small foretaste. One day we will see your face to face, but thank you that even now you are giving us joy as we walk and as we talk with you. Heaven in the midst of hell, light in the midst of darkness, what is security? We cannot allow the situations of life dictate who we are. You cannot allow the situations of your life dictate who you are. When you come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, your position, your identity is now found in him. And the world will rapidly be craziness around you. But your identity in him will never change. Verse 12. Now that I have, not that I've already attained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which was in Christ Jesus that he took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of this. Those who live according to the pattern we gave. I want to pause here for a second. Because I think sometimes when I listen to people talk about Christ, I think sometimes we quickly shift back into what we have to do. What does Jeff have to do to make this Christianity thing work? What does Jeff have to do to accomplish this task? Isn't Paul saying, press in? Come on, you can do it. You can do it. But out of your understanding of who you are in him. It's not my goal. It's not my goal to make myself holy. It's my goal to realize that he has made me holy. It's not my goal to be whole. It's my goal to understand that he has made me whole. It's not my goal to know more of the words of God. It's my goal to understand that the words of God want to flow through me. It's not my goal to be a good Christian and to say all the right things. It is my goal to sit in the love of the Father and understand who I am in him. And all those other things will happen. but not if I'm trying to do them. Paul is pressing in based on his understanding of who he is in Christ. He's pressing forward to win the prize, the wholeness, the holiness, the knowledge, the wisdom, the service, because of who he is in Christ. And if we do it the other way around, we end up with opinions on Facebook. As I was reading this story this week, this hit me so hard. And this is just a taste of what it looks like when you're sitting positionally in your understanding of who you are in Christ. After the war, after Corey got out of prison, and she's the only one from her family that made it, she went on to tell people about Jesus. Not only did she do that, she went back to Germany to talk to the people who had hurt her. And as she was speaking and telling people about this thing called forgiveness, that the God of the universe wants to forgive you of being positionally set apart from him. He wants to bring you into the fellowship with the Father. He wants to have a relationship with you. He will forgive anything that you've done in your life. They're all done, and up walks this guy, and there's this sensation that she explains of how this ick came over her. And walking up to her is one of the worst guards in the entire concentration camp that she ever experienced. She had to stand before this man naked hours on end as he ridiculed her and other people around her. And this man walks up to her and says, "I was at that camp. I was a horrible person. But since then, I found Christ. Will you forgive me?" And he sticks his hand out. Don't clap yet. What would you do? And Corey talks about this wrestling that took place inside of her. She had just spoke, God wants to forgive you. And here is one of the worst people, one of the persons that's been the worst to her in her entire life, standing before her. Now the rubber meets the road. Hand out. Will you forgive me? Is her response going to be out of her will or out of her position in Christ Jesus? This is her response. She says, forgiveness is an act of the will, and a will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You simply supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out before me. And as I did, this incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and it raced down my arm, sprang into my joints and my hand, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my entire being, bringing tears to my eyes, and I cried out and said, "I forgive you, brother, with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even so, I realized it was not my love. I had tried to do it in my own power. That power came from Christ. There's a whole lot I know that you want to accomplish in your life. There are goals and there are things set before you. You want to be a good person. We want everybody to get along. Some of us. I can try. And if I do it in my position as flesh, Jeff Salveson, I'm going to fail. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to fail. But when I sit positionally in the understanding that the God who created all loves me and he loves you, something very different happens. And all the peripheral things that do not matter fade away. And he becomes visible. And the things that are most important become reality. And forgiveness and joy and love and repentance and healing and restoration and good things take place. I could look at this phone and I could go, remember that time when you were so stupid? Dude, all you had to do was press the power button and the circle at the same time and turn this bad boy on. I want you to flip over that piece of paper. There's some other names, some other identities that we've given ourselves that are not good. You know what they are. It's the phrase you repeat in your head. Unloved, victim, stupid, shame, not worthy, not worth, whatever they are, those things that are not of Christ, the labels that we give ourselves, I want you to write those down on that piece of paper. The worship team's going to come back up. And we're going to close this thing out. And I'm going to ask every single person in here to respond. Let's start this new season off together. Let's start this new season off on a good path. On the front, those things are good. I don't know what you wrote down. Mine says pastor. They're good, but they're not who you are. They're what you do. On the back, those things are bad. We need to let them go. They're not who you are. So as the worship team plays this last song, when you are ready, I want you to come, and I want you to leave them here. Got all these crazy clothespins up here at the front. I want you to come up, and I want you to clip that not perfect identity. And I want you to leave it here. And I want you to walk out in the understanding that you're loved by the Father. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give power, that you would give strength, that you would give understanding to everyone sitting here this morning, that they would know who they are in Christ Jesus, that they would know that they are loved by the Father, that positionally they would understand that in Christ Jesus, they are as they ought to be.